Good morning, church. How many of you have heard this? An older song. It's called Fingertips and Noses. Anybody ever? Isn't that an awesome song? It tells a story about these special needs children that were in school, and the teachers teaching them about that Jesus said he's coming back. And as she's teaching them, she noticed that they head to the window and press their noses and their fingertips, watching out the window for him. Isn't that awesome? That's how we should be. Jesus is always good for his promises. He promised that he was going to the grave and he would be resurrected. He promised he was returning to the Father and that he would someday come to be with us again. We should be like that, with fingertips and noses pressed to the window, looking for him, anticipating him. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father now. So we come today with that anticipation to worship him as King of Kings. Let's pray. Father, we welcome you. You are indeed the King of Kings. And we press our fingertips and noses to the window in anticipation for you coming. But Father, you also said that while we're waiting and anticipating your coming, you didn't leave us as orphans. You've come to us in the Holy Spirit. So we ask you now, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you be with us? Would you inhabit this place? Would you inhabit our praises? Would the name of Jesus be high and lifted up? We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to welcome our live stream worshipers as well. Rise if you are able. Let's worship.
Good morning. As Pastor Jeff said, let's worship. We have a few things before y'all come up.
Want to invite the Vargas and Quinones family? You guys come up. This is an exciting day. Y'all just, if y'all would line right there, I'm going to come out there with you in just a second. So we got Jesse and Allie and Viviana and Carmen and Adriana and Lana. Lana. Sorry, Lana. Am I on your list now? Okay. Watch out, because I'll hold you under until you bubble on the baptism. These four girls are, if you couldn't tell, they're getting baptized at the end of the service. Yes. And so we're excited to receive this family into our membership. You guys have already accepted Christ. You girls, we're going to be handling that officially at the end of the service. And so I ask you, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. We welcome you. Y'all make sure that family gets welcomed and we celebrate with them before they leave today. We will baptize the girls at the end of the service. And now we invite the children to come forward and join Miss Carlene.
This morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Okay. Anybody going to talk? First service, nobody talked to me. Everybody good today?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm excited that y'all are here today. So I have my backpack with me today. Why do you think I have a backpack?
Back to school.
That's right. Who all is going back to school? You've already been back. Yeah, you started what, last week?
Yeah,
it started last week. Yes. You going back to school? Yeah, school starts this week, right? But some of you could be going to pre-K, you could be going to daycare, wherever you're going. You're still going somewhere probably, right? Yeah. You are going into first grade. That's right. So I brought my backpack. What? You're going into first grade too. That's right. So I brought my backpack. Yeah. So what do you think? You're going into kindergarten. So what do you think I have in my backpack?
School supplies.
School supplies. So I have pencils. Do we need pencils?
Yes. Scissors.
Blue. Okay. Why are pencils important? Because you need to write. Right? We have notebooks. That's right. And then we always need glue. Do we need glue? Is glue fun? Yes, because glue and glitter go great together, don't they? Yes. And then we have a pair of scissors, and then I've got some markers, because you, and we have some crayons, and we also have some colored pencils. So do you think I'm ready for school? What? Headphones? I don't have any headphones. Are you supposed to bring headphones to school? Well, so you can use the iPad. Okay, well, I'm old school. I don't know all of that yet. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's all right. I don't have everything that I'll need. I'll probably have to get some more stuff. But that's okay. So I've got all my stuff ready to go. But I think I'm missing something. What do you think I'm missing?
Jesus.
Is Jesus in my backpack?
Yeah, he's on the keychain.
He's on the keychain. That's right. Yes, you already know what we're going to do, right? Do we need to put Jesus in our backpack?
Yeah.
Yes. Is he there already?
Yes.
Yes. Is he going to go to school with you?
Yes.
Yes, he is. That's right. Is it important that he goes to school with you? Yes, because can you talk to him about anything? Is school going to be fun and exciting? No? Is school maybe going to be maybe a little bit afraid of some things and learning some new things that you're not really sure? Huh? Yours was not fun? But you're going to be learning some new things, right? Yes, you're going to be learning some new things. But you want, but God is with you. So can y'all need to know, remember that God is with you, right? Even when you're in a place at school, is God there? Yes, he is. So this year, every year we give you a cross to hang on your backpack because we want you to be reminded that God is with you. He didn't just leave you at the door at the school. He went in the school with you. He's already there waiting for you on whenever you start, on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever you're going to start or started last week. God went. He's trapped there. You think he's trapped there? Yeah. So on your thing, it's got this little bitty cross. But then it's also got on this little round circle, I was going to tell you what it says. It says, in Christ, I have to make sure I can read it. In Christ, you are. This is what God says about you. Did you know God loves you? And he says all these amazing things about you. And he says that you are victorious. And you are enough. And you are created by God. You are strong. Do you know you're strong? Yeah. Do you know that you are amazing? Do you know that you are capable of doing everything and that you are chosen by God? Can you remember those things? Because when you're at school and you're uncertain about some things, can you remember that you, what God says about you? That he says you are amazing. Because sometimes we forget that God created us, right? And what God creates is amazing, right? So as you go off to school this coming week and the weeks to come, remember that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And that it also says in Joshua 1:9, it says, remember that I command you to be strong and brave. So don't be afraid. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So remember that God goes with you the minute you walk in the school. The minute that you're on the playground, he is with you. The minute you're eating lunch. Do you know God's eating lunch with you? You always have somebody to eat lunch with. You always have God to eat lunch with. Yeah, isn't that fun? Yeah. And even when you're doing math or reading or whatever, God is with you. And you can talk to him about anything. So everybody's going to get one of these little things, and you're going to put it on your backpack as a reminder that God is with you always. Okay? So what we're going to do, Pastor Jeff's going to come up, So if y'all will stand up, y'all kids stand right up here because we're going to have a pretty big group. If y'all will stand up, then we're going to have, just a second right there, and then everybody else that's going off to school, if y'all would just make your way up here, we are asking, we're going to pray for all the kids, all the teachers, all the support staff, anybody that's going back to school, college, high school, elementary, pre-K, nursery, wherever, if you're going off to school, come on and join us. Teachers, staff, come on. Come on. Okay, come on up. There you go. You want to go back and stand with Mom? No? Okay. Okay.
The rest of y'all look really lonely out there. I don't know. What a great group. All right, let's pray. Father, I am reminded, Jesus, you said, let the children come to me. You love children. You love these students. You love these teachers and this staff. Lord, I just pray that you would go before them, that this would be an awesome year. I pray, God, blessings on each one of the campuses they represent, each one of the classrooms they represent. Lord, would you give them a blessed year? Would you give them protection? May your angels protect them physically, spiritually, emotionally. We just ask, God, I pray, God, for friendships, good, godly friendships. Lord, I pray that for teachers that would sow in life into these students. Lord, we love you. We just pray that this would just be a year that brings glory to your name. I pray a special blessing for each and every one of these students and each and every one of these students, teachers and staff. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to encourage you, if you're worshiping in the building, to go ahead and check in to our late service, and bless you for joining us online. If you don't mind checking into the online service, that would be awesome. Most every Sunday, we recite the Apostles' Creed, and the Apostles' Creed was formulated in the second or third century, and there are several other creeds during that time frame that was put together, Nicene Creed being one and the Athanasian Creed being another one, and I'm sure there are others, but there's some thought that these creeds were established because doctrine had changed and people's interpretation of Scripture had changed, so therefore they needed to formulate something, a statement to that effect, but that's not true. The reason the creeds were established is because the church was drifting away from first century doctrine. That makes sense? And so the Apostles' Creed was formulated. The Nicene Creed was formulated in 325 A.D., not C.E., A.D. Just want to make, that just kind of irritates me. But anyway, the year of our Lord. And the theological thought of that day is that Jesus was created by God. He wasn't the Son of God. The Trinity was a myth. And so to combat that theology, a group of theologians got together and they started drafting that particular creed. So it's a really strong creed that speaks about the Trinity, who God is. There's lots of the creed devoted to who Jesus is, and then the Holy Spirit and the church. So we're going to quote or recite this creed together this morning. It's longer, maybe a little harder to stay together, but we're going to give it a shot. Everybody in? Say amen. Okay, let's go ahead and stand if you're able. And as we get to the part about Jesus being our Lord, just think about what they were fighting against back in that day and our day as well. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Hallelujah. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And all God's people said, amen. Now, that's strong, strong words there. You can go ahead and be seated. So our Wednesday night ministry start back, not this Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night on the 20th. We'll have our meal from 5 to 6, and then our adult community groups, our children's and youth activities, our ministries. And also, as you're probably aware, that Jeff and Cheryl Hatcher will be leading a marriage class. You two want to come on up? Is that okay? And, you know, Carlene and I have been running with the Hatchers for 20 and a half years, and it's been good, been really good. And I've witnessed this couple minister to many, many husbands and wives. They're incredibly affected. They have a heart for strong marriages. I told the early service their marriage is almost perfect. If it wasn't for Jeff, it would be perfect. But you know, we all have our cross to bear, Cheryl, correct? Now, I love this couple. You can trust them. And so they have a few thoughts they want to share about this marriage class.
Well, first of all, I'm really offended at that, Billy. That's the rudest thing's been said to me this morning, I think. So as Billy said, and as you most of you know, Cheryl and I just celebrated 44 years of marriage.
45.
Well, anyway, over the past 20 years of ministry, we've led 8 marriage classes.
More like 10.
With that said, we'll be conducting another one of those this coming Wednesday at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall.
Actually, it starts a week from this Wednesday at 6 o'clock right here in the sanctuary.
One of the things, as you can tell, that we're most proud of as a couple is our ability to be in perfect harmony and communication. We'd love for you guys to join us. In all seriousness, it is a week from Wednesday. And, you know, Cheryl and I have, we'll talk more about this in the class, but we've kind of learned some things over our 45 years. I know many of you have been married longer than that. But we've learned some things, and it has blessed us, and we want to share some of those things with you. So it's a week from Wednesday at 6 p.m., and we'll meet here in the sanctuary. The meal will be from 5 to 6, just like normal, and our normal groups will still be meeting. One thing that's come up, I'm sensing kind of a concern with some of the couples is no one will be asked to share personal things like, hey, tell us what's wrong with your marriage, that kind of deal. Nobody's going to be put on the spot like that. There will be opportunities for people to share if they want to, but if you want to sit and just take it in, that's okay as well. So we look forward to being blessed with you guys a week from Wednesday. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff and Cheryl. If you want to sign up for that class, you can scan the QR code in your bulletin, and we will have some people who may not normally be here on Wednesday nights that want to come to the meal, so we need to know how many to anticipate for the meal. We don't want to run out of food, so go ahead and get signed up for that. And as Cheryl corrected Jeff, they're meeting in the sanctuary, and typically on a Wednesday night, the children rule this space. They'll gather in here for a corporate worship time. Then one group will retreat upstairs. One will go back into the children's area. And there are typically four tables set up around the sanctuary for them to do ministry. Well, we don't have any place for this class to meet except in here. So Carlene and crew, they're going to get creative. I don't know. They may meet outside. They may meet on the roof. I don't know. But thinking about the call on this church's life to expand, obviously we have plenty of room on Sunday mornings for worship, but man, we struggle on Wednesday nights to try to find places to put everybody. And, we want to offer other things on Wednesday night, and we found out that Wednesday night is the sweet spot for this church. We've tried some ministry on Sunday nights, but that just doesn't work well. We started out doing community groups in homes. Every one of those groups gravitated back to the church. It's just kind of hard on a Wednesday for a couple to get that home ready to receive 15 to 20 people. And so we're out of space. And so I believe God is calling us to do more than we're able to do. And, church, you've been so faithful as far as jumping on board with a capital fund drive. We're like at $1.1 million, but there's lots of work that still needs to be done. So just seek the Lord about that particular need. You and your family seek the Lord about getting involved in that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, for us being out of space. And Lord, a call on this church's life. We exist to make disciples for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to be faithful in that. And Father, I just more space would be helpful. But God, we're trusting you fully for the future. So move in power, glorify yourself, God, as we keep walking out life as Wiley Methodist Church. God, I want to pray over this school year as well. I pray, God, for safety and protection. God, I just pray against what the enemy would try to do to kill, steal, and destroy, to disrupt. I pray against the spirit of suicide in the hallways. Father, I just pray for joy to break out. God, I pray that your presence is strong and felt in every campus, in every classroom. And Lord, I pray that this is the best school year that Abilene, Texas, and the surrounding areas have ever had. Lord, we need you in this day. We need you in this hour. And we won't trust anybody but you to solve the issues of our day. Oh, Lord, we love you. I pray, God, that you free us up to encounter you this morning, if we haven't already. And I pray that by the time we leave this place, that all of us are changed for your glory. And we pray the prayer that, Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, church, thank you for your financial faithfulness. If you're not aware, the offering boxes are by the doors. Giving options on the screen. I believe we have Robert and Debbie Mills maybe praying for us after the service. This is a couple that you can trust. If you need prayer, seek them out, seek me out, seek our pastor out. Seek out someone you trust. And let's give God glory and honor this day. And let's stand and continue to worship Him.
I've never Yeah.
Well, once again, welcome. I'm glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. If you are our guest, we're especially glad you're here. We love guests. We hope guests turn into part of the family. If you are a guest, there's a blue striped card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I would love for you to fill that out. I'd like to meet you. It'd be at this end of the foyer. Have a free gift for our guests and hope to meet you. Glad that you're here. Turn with me to Psalm 23. We're going to continue series I'll talk about more in just a moment. We're going to read together. Well, read it with me. Psalm 23. This is out of the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me, please. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We love you. We praise you. We thank you that you have promised to be with us, to dwell in us. You are the Spirit of all truth. So would you speak now in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So continuing the sermon series, we're on verse 4. Of the Psalm 23, the series is called Sheepish. George. Sheepish. Life lessons from Psalm 23. And today's message, we're going to look at verse 4. Today's message is fearless. Fearless. I want you to note something. Hopefully, as we're going through this series, I've asked you to start kind of memorizing. When we get through, I'd like for us all to be able to say Psalm 23 from memory. That's a psalm that we should have on our hearts. The first three verses that we have already, I've already preached on, David, as I've said, David is self-identifying as a sheep. And the first three verses, he's talking to the fellow sheep. Okay? He's telling them, hey, the Lord's my shepherd, and he's explaining some things. He's having a conversation with the other sheep about the shepherd. Now, verse 4, we turn a corner. David turns a corner where he's no longer talking to the other sheep about the shepherd, he's talking to the shepherd. Notice that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, good shepherd, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So it turns more personal, this personal conversation to David's shepherd, to our shepherd. So let's dive into verse 4 a little bit more. The first thing I think verse 4 teaches us is that life is no picnic. Anybody notice that? Life is no picnic. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That word yea, if you go and you look at the Greek and you really unpack that word, what he's saying is even though, yea, even though, not maybe, not kind of, not perhaps we might go through these valleys, but even though, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus said it a different way. He said, hey, by the way, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's a tough world, but I've overcome the world. I've referenced this book several times, but I want to give him due credit, even though he's now deceased. Philip Keller, he wrote the book years ago. He was spent some time in his life being a shepherd. A good shepherd looks at, Psalm 23 is the name of the book, but he talked about how if to be a good shepherd, you have to move the flock, because if you leave the flock on one field, they will ultimately eat that field down where it's just dirt. I mean, you've got to move them so that the fields can replenish. You also move them based on weather, weather conditions, and so on and so forth. Hi, Chris. Hi, Allie. I'm sorry. I just saw you. I'm like, hey, there's Chris. So I have no idea what I was just saying. So he has to move the flock. He has to move the flock. So, and he talked about how where he was raising sheep, you could have some brutal winters, and they would he'd have to move the flock up the mountain to better pastures, and then when the winters started coming in, the snow and the ice and all, he'd move them back down, and he'd go through valleys to make those moves. And one of the things that he says is that he anticipated problems. Hello, is this on? The shepherd needed to move the flock for their health, for their well-being, and he anticipated this isn't going to be easy. He said there could be bad weather, there could be poisonous plants, treacherous cliffs, wild predators that would be after his sheep. The good shepherd anticipates the valleys, anticipates the trials. The trip, life, it can be tough. I was thinking about just some of the different possibilities that we might face in this life. And this is by no means, don't feel slighted if your valley is exempt here, if I'm not mentioning it, but we face death. Even death of loved ones, sometimes even a child, death that comes unexpectedly. You know, we kind of think that we're going to be born and we're going to live this great life without many problems at all, and then we're going to die in old age, and then our children are going to, you know, it's just this cycle. We just think that's the way it's supposed to work, but it doesn't always work that way. Financial crisis, addictions, suicide, you know, I think we agreed this morning in the early service, but as a pastor, and Larry, as a pastor, the hardest funeral I've ever done is suicides. And it's not, if you've heard, even from the church, if you've heard somebody commit suicide, they're going to hell. First of all, I would say to you, show me that. Show me that. It's not in here. That's the first thing. But the reason I find suicide funerals so challenging is because it's a deep wound for the people left behind. There's all this if only and what ifs and I should haves and all those kinds of things. So we face those kinds of things. Lost jobs when an employer says we don't need you anymore or you're fired. Cancer and other health issues. Abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse, loneliness, depression, broken relationships, divorce, on and on and on. This life is full of trouble. But you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Good Shepherd, you're with me. He walks with us. I'm getting ahead of myself, King David is saying, walks through the valleys. We don't to linger, to wallow in the valley, to stay there. No, he's saying we're not stuck in the valley. We walk through the valley, and the Lord walks with us. Valleys are not a sign that God has abandoned us or that the Christian life is a lie. Valleys are simply part of our human journey. They're inevitable, but temporary. I think I should say that again. Inevitable, but temporary. And so that leads me, well, I've already been talking about this. Yes, life is no picnic, but your good shepherd walks with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you're with me, Lord. I know I can make it. I know I can get through this because you're walking through it with me. I've said this so many times, but if fear is such a powerful word, fear is not from God. I want that to sink in a second. Fear is not from God. Fear is from the enemy. He wants us to be fearful. The opposite of fear for the Christian is faith. I will fear no evil as the sheep. I will fear no evil because you're with me. 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because our good shepherd loves us so completely, we don't have to fear. David's confidence, King David's confidence as he writes this psalm, it's not in the absence of danger, but it's in the presence of the good shepherd. That's his confidence. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We need, as Christians, we need to focus on who is with us, not on what is around us. Not on what is attacking us or what circumstances we find ourselves in, but who is with us. Isaiah 43, I love this passage. God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And you think about, I was thinking about the two major examples of that in Old Testament, when God was freeing the people, the nation of Israel through from Egypt, and he divided the Red Sea, and they walked across the Red Sea. You think God was with them? And then later in their journey, Joshua is commanded to take the people into the promised land, and the Jordan River, I preached on this a few years ago, the Jordan River was at flood levels, okay? And God told the priest, get the Ark of the Covenant and carry the Ark of the Covenant, and when you step your foot, now think about, these are at flood levels. When the priest steps his foot into the Jordan, I will cut off the water. Well, first of all, I'm not sure I would have really been thrilled about being the front of the line on the priest. Like, no, dude, here, let me get the back today. You take the front. But they stepped in, and here's what is amazing to me. Not only did God cut off the waters at flood levels, but he gave them dry ground to walk across. Think about that for a second. I mean, you would think if the waters have been flowing and been flooding, and then they're just suddenly stopped, think about how muddy and soupy that ground would have been. Mm-mm. Probably millions of people, probably pulling carts with their belongings and all kinds of stuff, crossed on dry ground. That's the kind of shepherd we have. That's why we don't have to fear, because we have that kind of a shepherd. When he says, you'll cross on dry ground. He doesn't abandon us through the valleys. He walks with us through the valleys. And one of the things also that Keller mentioned was that the journey had a purpose. As they were making the journey and they were going through these valleys, he was constantly having to keep an eye on the sheep. But he said many times that they were, the trip was molding them. They were learning to trust him. Are you hearing me? They were learning to trust the shepherd in the valley. They were maturing and growing. They were preparing them for the experiences of what they would face. Being a Christian, church, does not give us a valley exemption. But we have a good shepherd that walks with us. And then finally, yes, this life is tough, but the Lord walks with us. And because of that, we can walk with confidence. Man, I mean, I've said it so many times, but when we face valleys, when we face trials in our lives, people should look at us and go, how are you handling that well? I thought the doctor just told you had cancer. How are you walking through that so well? We should amaze people because we have the Good Shepherd living inside of us. So he uses these two words, your rod and your staff will comfort me. So I've always just kind of walked through that, and I had the imagery of a shepherd, and I've just kind of walked across that and really hadn't thought much. Do you think David's really just talking about physically the rod and the staff of a shepherd? Is that what he's talking about? God doesn't walk around with a rod and a staff, you know, physically. So I was like, what could he be talking about there? Well, if you look at, I've always envisioned, and when you see pictures of shepherds or whatever, they have the shepherd hook, you know, have the hook. By the way, I was telling the early service, we have like 10,000 of those metal shepherd hooks you hang flowers on in our garage if anybody needs any. Cheryl, is that, you got enough to share with everybody? I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. I have a week and a half to get it right before we start the marriage class. So the shepherd had a that's his staff, the shepherd's crook. But there's also, he says, your rod and your staff. So there's two instruments that he's talking about here. The rod, I did a little more reading on this. The rod for a shepherd, they take a small tree and they get just the right size that they can handle, and they dig it up by, and it has a root ball, and they dig up this little tree, and then they clean it off, and they leave this root ball at the end of the stick, and that is, they use that in a lot of different ways, but one of the ways is they use it as a weapon against predators. They also can correct the sheep if a sheep starts wandering away from the flock, maybe wandering towards some poisonous plants or something, pop them on their back or their head or something. Anybody ever been popped by the Lord with a rod? I have. So I was thinking about, what is he maybe talking about, your rod and your staff that comfort me? It's this rod, it's a weapon of protection, a symbol of God's power and authority. It almost sounds like God's word to me. And God's word protects us, corrects us, examines us. 2 Timothy, Paul's writing this letter to Timothy, and he says, all scriptures, God breathed. Don't you love that? God breathed. I love that imagery. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, and I may have to rap him on the head every once in a while. No, it doesn't say that. But that's, I believe the rod may be God, he may be referring to God's holy word. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Well, staff. The staff, the shepherd's staff is a tool for guidance. They literally could hook the sheep around the neck or around their body or whatever and pull them away from things that were dangerous, pull them closer to the shepherd if they were wandering. Seems almost like the Holy Spirit may be your rod and your staff and comfort me. The Holy Spirit is the God of all comfort. Comforts us in our trouble. But the rest of that says that not only will he comfort us in our trouble, but the comfort we receive pours out of us and should overflow onto others, because we have the Holy Spirit as well. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. So there's this, I don't know if, I don't know for sure, but your rod and your staff, it seems to me that David may be talking about God's holy word, his Holy Spirit guiding and comforting us when we walk through the valley. church, we, you know, I've said this before too, but I can tell the difference when someone is going through a valley. Many times it's through the death of a loved one. I can tell that quick if they have the Good Shepherd, if they know Jesus. Because it's just different. It's a different sort of grief with it, without it. I pray that we have it. So if you'll bow your heads with me, I want to walk you through a prayer. If you're, maybe you've got the Holy Spirit, maybe you've got the Good Shepherd dwelling inside of you, and you just need a refreshing of that. Maybe you don't. Maybe what I'm talking about is brand new to you. You don't know what I'm meaning by these things. So I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to lead you through this. If this is your heart, just pray it in your own heart. Lord, I confess that just like a sheep, I've gone astray, and I need you. I need you to be my good shepherd. I need you to walk with me through the valley. I confess, Lord, that sometimes I'm a victim of fear. Fear of my past or fear of my future, my past failures and hurts, wounds, sins. I surrender those things to you. I trust you, Good Shepherd. Show me what you'd have me to do. Show me who you'd have me forgive. I need you in my life, in my heart. Come and make your home in me, Holy Spirit. Make my heart your home. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. As we close, the altar is always open. Don't forget, we've got to celebrate 4 baptisms here in just a moment. If you'll rise as we close. Thank you. be seated. Family, come on up. Come on in, Dad. All right. You know, you have to bring your family back every Sunday because it doubles our attendance, okay? So. We'll make sure to get everybody up here. All right. Yeah, y'all they can see there's a camera, so y'all come right on up. Get up here close. Okay, Viviana, you're our first. These girls are excited. I'm excited for them. Come on down one more, all the way to the bottom. There you go. So, we've talked about these questions that I would ask you. First of all, we're all sinners, and I ask you are you confessing to Jesus that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And you want Him to be your Lord and Savior and forgive you of your sins?
Yes.
And you want to receive Him in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized? You're standing in the water. You probably should. How are you? So if you'll sit, hold your nose. Yes. All right, Dad, you help me out here. Viviana, hold your nose. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right, stay right there. Stay right there for a second. If y'all can grab a shoulder or touch. If you can't, touch the person in front of you. There we go. Lord, I thank you, God, for Viviana. I thank you, Father, that she loves you, that you love her best and first, and Father, I thank you that she has confessed you as her Lord and Savior. She's repented of her sins. Would you fill her now with your Holy Spirit? Father, empower her to be a mighty warrior for you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Carmen. Uh-oh. You got a boo-boo. Well, that's going to get wet. Okay. All right, Carmen, I'm going to ask you the same questions. Do you confess and admit to Jesus that you are a sinner?
Yes.
You want Him to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
You want Him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized this day?
Yes.
All right, if you will sit. Hold your nose. Carmen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. All right, if you can touch a shoulder there. Lord, again, thank you so much. We just celebrate. I know that the angels in heaven are celebrating. We celebrate with them. We thank you for Carmen, God. We thank you that when you were on the cross, she was on your mind and that you love her. I pray that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit, God, that she would, again, just as her sisters, would be a mighty warrior in your hands, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Adriana. All right. So I ask you the same questions. Do you confess and repent that you are a sinner?
Yes.
You want Jesus to forgive you of that sin?
Yes.
You want Him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. You want to be baptized as well?
Yes.
All right. If you will sit down, hold your nose. Adriana, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't want that top hair to not be saved. Okay, stay right there. All right, Lord, thank you again for dying on the cross for Adriana. God, I thank you that she loves you and you love her back. And Father, would you just fill her with your Holy Spirit? May this day, we drive a stake in the ground and we say, this day, this one belongs to you, all four of them, Lord. We pray that she would grow in your ways and be a mighty warrior for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Lana, I forget, is it Lana or Lana?
Lana.
I'm just kidding.
Why is it cold? I mean hot.
Well, it's, would you rather me ice it down for you? We can go get a bucket. Okay. All right, Lana, I ask you the same questions. Do you confess and repent that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
You want him to live in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay, if you'll sit, hold your nose. Lana, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, stay right there. I have this crazy, you know, thing to, like, I want to start singing Sisters. I don't know. Right. Anybody want to sing that with me? Maybe not. Maybe not. Lana, I just thank you, Jesus, for loving Lana. I thank you that she loves you back. And that, Father, that would you, Father, just fill her from head to toe with your Holy Spirit. I know she's spunky, and you like that. So, Lord, bless her, fill her, and empower her to be a mighty warrior for you, Jesus. In your name, amen. All right. The water's fine. Anybody else want to come up and receive Jesus? All right. If you'll rise for this benediction. Even though, church, we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear anything because we have a good shepherd. He's with us. He walks with us and he loves you. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Parents, pick up your kids in the front. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.